Praise God. If you have your Bibles, please stand with me and turn to the book of Luke chapter 5. Wilson spoke on this morning, what did the Lord require, and he exemplified and spoke widely about prayer. Make me a house of prayer. Make me a house that you can dwell in. God, where your spirit is, and I renew and rejuvenate and experience that refreshing in prayer. Luke chapter 5, we're going to begin our reading this afternoon in verse number 1. The Bible says, "And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret, and he saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and he taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when they had done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they come, and they filled both ships, so that they began to sink." Lord, we are here today. God, your spirit is fresh, and it is moving. The Holy Ghost in our hearts, I pray that it is stirred. God, touch us today and allow your spirit, your truth to agree. Manifest in our lives today, we pray. Let us hear, God, what the Spirit has got to say to the church. We give you all the praise and glory in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen.
Amen.
God bless you. You may be seated. There was a young Christian woman who was walking along the city sidewalk and praying as she went. Her prayer was, "God, I want to be used for your glory. I want to step out of the box in order for you, Lord, to be able to use me in a way that I've never been used before." Amen. It was at that moment that the Lord replied, "Okay, I want you to stop right where you are, twirl around, jump in the air, and shout hallelujah." Touting that she was hearing from the Lord, she prayed her prayer once again. And the Lord said, "You asked me to use you in a way you've never been used before, and that being out of the box. So once again, I'm asking you to stop right where you are. I want you to twirl around, jump in the air, and shout hallelujah."
Woo!
Well, this time the young woman responded, and right in front of a large picture window of a local barbershop, feeling kind of foolish after doing so, she then began to walk away. Well, inside that barbershop sat a barber. He was hurt and he was unhappy in life. He was contemplating suicide and ending that of his miserable life. It was the barber who had just prayed, "Lord, I stopped believing you a long time ago. But if you really are real and you care about me, have somebody stop in front of my barbershop, twirl around, jump in the air, and shout hallelujah."
Woo!
It was at that moment that that young woman had obeyed God, and that before the shocked eyes of the barber inside. Swiftly, the barber got up from his chair and he went outside and he called out, "Excuse me, ma'am, do you go to church?" And to that she replied, "Yes, I do." And the barber said, "Whatever church that you go to, I need to be a part of."
Amen.
And in a short while, after a few services of the barber attending, it was the barber who had repented of his sins, was baptized in Jesus' name, and was filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost, evidenced by him speaking in an unknown tongue.
Amen.
Today, I would like to preach to you a message titled, Out of the Box.
Amen.
Out of the Box.
Amen. Come on. Mm-hmm.
Question. Over the course of each of our lives, how many times has it been that you heard the words, "I don't like change.
I don't like trying new things because they never work out, or quite frankly, I'm just afraid to try it. You know, what if I fail? What if it fails? What if it doesn't work and all I did in trying was to make things worse? Could you imagine? I do something silly, or I do something that I've not done before, and it just, it's like egg in the face. Well, it's not gonna fail. You're not going to fail. No. I've always done this way, and I'm not going to change. Can I get a witness today? I remember hearing that words, hold on. I'm not going to put my hands up. You guys all stare at me. That's what you will do. I won't be the first one to the altar. They'll think, oh, look at that sinner. Aha, I knew there was something in their life. I'm not going to sing out loud. I'm just not going to do whatever it is that you're called upon to do. No. This is the way I am. I'm going to leave it that way. You know, briefly looking back to the time of our grandparents and to some of our parents' day, in the years gone by, I've heard them say, I was taught this way. This has been our family tradition for years, and that's the way it's going to stay. And in my personal attempts to try to change their minds in order to get them to try something new, something that was out of the box, the words that came to me were like this: you can't teach an old dog new tricks. So there they were, and there they would stay in their life's rut. Never being the ones to venture out of their comfort zone in order for them to experience or to try something new. I'm just not going to do it. Well, there's this old man, and some of you might have heard the story, but maybe some have not. There was this old man, he was a Swedish fellow, and he had talked to his friend, you know. He says, I'm getting old. I'm getting so old that it's getting tough for me. And his name was Ole, and Ole was a logger. He said, it's getting tough for me to be able to go get enough wood to make the money and to bring home some logs for the family for the winter time. This buddy says, he was working at one of these custom shops, and he says, Ole, you know what you need? He said, what you need? You need a Husqvarna chainsaw. A Husqvarna who? A Husqvarna chainsaw. What's a Husqvarna chainsaw? Ole, this chainsaw is the top of the line. You know what it'll do? It'll do twice to three times the work in half the time. I don't think so. I got my cross saw. My cross saw does a good job. I'm just aging. Ole, come to the shop tomorrow. So he comes to the shop, and he looks at the price, he touches his head like, are you kidding me? Ole, take it out and try it before you buy it. See what you can do. Use it this weekend and come back on Monday. Well, it was Monday morning, first thing that the door opened, and here come Ole. And Ole walks in, and he's got that chainsaw all covered with sawdust and stuff, and he throws it on the counter, and he says, junk! Junk? Junk! He said, this didn't even do a quarter of the work! He said, I could have done twice the work. I just sweat a lot with my old crossbow. Ole, what do you mean, junk? Take it, junk. This, before you go, come on in the back. And he went in the back in the outside yard there, and he cleaned it up, put a little bit of oil on it, moved the blade around, and pumped the primer a few times, and went, and it burst into life. And Ole grabs his ears and goes, oh, what's that noise? It's something new. He tried to cut it down with just the blade, and no wonder he didn't get nothing done. He didn't want to try nothing new. What's that noise? Ole, you got to turn the chainsaw on to get it to work. You know, thinking back some 30 plus years ago, under our first pastor's ministry, I became famous in the Church of Kelowna for my uttering the words, I never did this before. I never done this before. We'd come up with something different. We're going to try in the church. I've never done this before. And I said that enough that my pastor, when he knew he was going to start try something new or bring a new concept to the church, he'd go, "Oh, I've never done this before." And he'd point right at me, and I'd sit there red-faced and embarrassed. And those words echoed through the, I would say, the 12 years of his ministry. He never let me, we'd sit at dinner time, and Sister Mitchell would bring out a different dish I've never seen before. Oh, I guess you've never done this before. You've never tried this before. And just to spite him, I'd eat it. You know, and having said this, let me, if you will, now direct our attention to the same concept, the thought pattern of what it is that we as a people of God in our walking with God do. When it's we who come up against things or situations or that of life circumstances in God that call for us, that, well, in fact, they actually challenge us to be willing in our walking to be the ones to step out of the box. See, I can tell you the times when it was I who desired to be used of God in my young Christian walk, and that in the same area that would be considered out of the box. I just want to do something different, you know. But who, just like that young lady in our story, it was I who too prayed for that, for the same thing. I just want to be used in a neat way, in a miraculous way, God. And I wanted God to do whatever what God wanted to do, however he would choose to use me. However, instead of my being the one to listen to the voice of God that was speaking to me, or the spirit that was prompting upon me to act or to react to a situation or circumstance that was before me, well, if the truth be told, I didn't. I didn't act. And I sure didn't react. I mean, I didn't react. I didn't respond. I didn't step out. I didn't obey God. No, I didn't. I hesitated, I doubted, I delayed, and that was long enough for the Spirit of God to move on somebody else, and I watched as somebody else received the blessing that was supposed to be mine. They were used in a mighty way in God, and I wasn't. I did this before the Lord. God, if it's really you, then have him do it. Let him give the interpretation in tongues. Sure enough, a sliced bread and hot butter on it. Bang, within seconds, that brother or that sister would speak and give the interpretation. And I had the egg on my face, and I thought, oh my goodness. And time and time again, I pray, I'm gonna do it this time. Step out of your pew right now. Get out of your pew right now. And just lift up your hands and worship me. Are you kidding? That can't be God. No, it's got to be the enemy, the devil, right? Yeah, okay, fine. So here we go. This is for all of us today. Tongues and interpretation. Don't use me. Surely, I'll say something wrong. Go lay your hands on that person and pray for them, and I'll heal them. Well, speak to that person that's behind the counter that's serving you and tell them that I died for them. Tell them I want to redirect their destiny. Wait a minute. That can't be God. I mean, God wouldn't ask me right in the grocery store lineup to tell somebody that God wants to change their destiny. I mean, would he? Would God do that to me? That's out of the box, you know. Standing in the grocery store line, I got it down pat after a while, being a little bit nervous and as shy as I was, especially my beginning walk with God. We had little pastor's church cards, and I'd walk up to that counter and I put his church card down. I said, "Thank you. We really, really enjoyed your service. Why don't you come one day and enjoy ours?" You know, our first pastor, he told the story of how he used to go out for walks every morning, and almost every morning he'd cross the path of a man that would just say the greeting of hello. And it was on one morning that the two had met, and they stopped for a moment or two to chat. And the Lord spoke to our pastor and said, "Tell the man that I love him and that I died for him and offer him the opportunity to come to church this Sunday." Well, our pastor thought for a moment, I don't feel right in saying that to that man. Well, I hardly know him. What if he laughs at me? What if he rebukes me for what I just said? And so on their way they went, and it was a few days later in the paper, the story came out how that man that our pastor knew had gone home that day
and had committed suicide. That was out of the box. So you might be saying this afternoon, Pastor, what is it you're trying to say? What are you trying to get across to us today? Come on. What it is that I am saying, I'm trying to bring across to all of you this day is, no matter where it is that you are in God, in the face of the what ifs, speaking of the many, shall I be bold enough to say, of the what if missed opportunities in God that many of us likely have had let pass us by, declaring in our minds, well, what if? What if it wasn't me that was supposed to be used? What if I go to pray for them and they push my hand on? What if God doesn't do what he said he was going to do? So what if it would have been you who had been prompted by God when being prompted maybe by the Spirit of God? If you've been willing to step out of the box, out of your own personal comfort zone, out of what it is that you would normally do in order for you to be the one to experience for yourself, none other than God's miraculous. What if? You know, you think about that. What if? Well, it was you who was in prayer asking God to use you, that instead of questioning and instead of your doubting that it is God or that it was God, but instead it was you who just did it. You listen? You know, you just responded to what it is that you were feeling on the inside. Whether or not it was the voice of God or an unction of the Spirit of God in your life. Really now, I ask you all, just consider this. What if? I just did it.
Right.
Could it be that God is he who just waits for the soul whose life is full of a now faith? One who's willing and ready not to question, but to respond.
Amen.
I've been guilty of myself. This is many years ago, not guilty of that anymore. Sitting there in the pew, and it was like I was driving and my foot was on the brake. I was burning the brakes. The smell in my spirit was so bad because it was just full of brake dust. And they were squealing. Smoke was all around me. I am not going to move. I won't do it. Are you kidding? And there's God going, come on. Well, what if he just wanted me to be full of now faith? Not to question, just to respond. You know, you think about it. What kind of signs, ladies and gentlemen, of the miraculous of God would we as a church and you as an individual, what would you have? What if you're walking down Freshco, Save-On Foods, Walmart, and you're going down the aisle and someone's walking towards you and they got tears in their eyes and you notice that they're not, they don't appear to be right. And you said, excuse me, sir, would you mind if I prayed with you? Not me. You're a lady, say, excuse me, ma'am, you look like you're troubled today. Can I pray for you? We're not in the church building. These aren't the four walls, you know. Mm-hmm. What if? What if they say no? Well, what if they broke down and you put your hand on them and you prayed for them and they lifted up their hands and started speaking in an unknown tongue? What if?
Right.
When that Spirit of God begins to prompt you and say, come on, just step out of your pew. Come to the front. Lift up your hands and I, God, will fill you with the Holy Ghost. Come on, just step out. I want you to hear me now. All I want you to do is to testify, God says, claiming your healing and thanking me as your God for that of your healing. Come on, just do it. Step out of the box. I'm sick. I've been, Brother Wilson talked this morning about, oh, you've been prayed for 155,000, however long time, you know. So what? What if it's God and he's speaking to you? Just claim it. Just call it. Name it. Claim it. Grab it. What if this was it? I want you to stand up and say, I want you to say it. I just want you to do it. You ready? I want you to talk to your coworker who's been inquiring about the changes that they're seeing in you. Testify to them of your God's goodness and desire to not to see any perish, but all should come to repentance. Amen. Come on, tell them to come and experience it for themselves. Tell them how that I, God, died for them just like I had gone to Calvary for you.
Amen.
Just do it.
Right.
Yeah.
Huh. Oh, my goodness.
God, are you crazy? I mean, seriously, I can't do that. Well, everybody will look at me. And here I am down that Walmart aisle, and they'll think I'm strange. Well, God, truth is, I'm not healed. I've been prayed for many times, and well, you know, I think that would be kind of hypocritical of me, you know, to just stand up and claim my healing that I haven't received. Wow, God. I mean, I could get fired for preaching at work and telling somebody about what happened to me as well as what it is that you and your promises you offered to them. You want me to lose my job? Now, hear this.
Amen.
Hesitation and delay, they equal a missed opportunity. And that, my friends, might be yours. Hesitation and delay. I'll walk away from that person, and I should have said something. My pastor, he'd remember that for many years after, during his ministry. He would talk about and tell that story. He would bemoan the fact that if he'd only stopped that man. There's some among us today who witnessed that same thing. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to say it. There's somebody sick. I was in a workplace one time, and somebody was declaring how they were sick, and God said, pray for them. Pray for them? I don't even know the lady. I don't even know that guy. I know I'm a pastor, but you want me to really pray for them? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do.
Yeah.
And then your hesitation. And then your delay means you just missed an opportunity to do something for God.
I know.
I want you to hear what I'm saying today. In the book of Matthew, chapter 14, just referencing for you today, when it was the disciples who had gotten into the ship, the Bible says that the wind and the waves were contrary. It starts about verse 22. The wind and the waves are contrary, and along comes Jesus walking on the water, and as they in the ship cried out, ah, it's a spirit! Peter, upon hearing the voice of Jesus in Matthew 14, around 22 and on from there, he says, Lord, if it's you, then bid me to come to you on the water.
Right.
Take that one, eh? Come.
Amen.
Seriously? Who in the world can walk on the water? I'm a human. You're God. Mm-hmm. Read the story.
Right.
What did he do?
Right.
He didn't even think. There was no hesitation. I do not believe the Bible indicates that at all. He got up and he climbed over that ship. What are you doing, Peter? You're going to drown, you crazy man. What's wrong with you? And he walked on the water to Jesus.
Right.
Come. A similar account is of the blind man whom in the book of John chapter 9, if you want to turn there. John chapter 9. The blind man, after Jesus talked to him a little bit, and he made a spittle of clay, and he applied it to the blind man's eyes. He said, I want you to go, and I want you to wash. I want you to go wash in that pool of Siloam. John 9. I want you to go wash. Can't you just do it here? What do I have to wait? Where's the pool in the first place? You think I could see it? For the Bible says that as that man went and he washed, he came back seeing. John 9. He came back seeing. Okay, well, let's carry on. How about in the book of Luke, chapter 17, about the 10 lepers. Luke chapter 10. Or Luke 17, pardon me, the 10 lepers. Twist of words. The Bible said they stood afar off and they cried, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when Jesus heard them, he told them to go and show themselves to the priest. That starts about verse 11. Go show yourself to the priest. Now, listen to this, please, ladies and gentlemen, you'll miss it all. And without a delay, the 10 lepers responded, and the Bible says, as they went, they were cleansed. They were healed. I wonder today, is anybody listening to what I'm saying?
Amen.
What did they do? In each of these circumstances, they got up and they stepped out of the box. They did something that was not normal, not called for. I don't think Peter before that day ever, it's not recorded in the Bible anyhow, ever walked on the water.
Right.
Now, whoever helped that man, however he got there, maybe he got direction, but that blind man made his way to that pool. Why? He believed that when he got there,
Amen.
Jesus, his promise was going to happen and he would see.
Amen.
Those 10 lepers, you know what they were doing? I'm going to tell you what they're doing.
Grasping for straws. There we go. Thank you. And when we grasp for straws and we get desperate and we get down to earth, I've got to have the Holy Ghost. I don't want to be lost. Listen, God, I need that healing in my body, and I'm willing to do whatever it is I've got to do it. When they cried out to Jesus, he said, go and show yourself to the priest. Wait a minute. I thought you're Jesus. I thought you can heal. That's not in my Bible. What'd they do? They went, and they were cleansed. So what I'm saying to you today is this. Sometimes, and maybe even oftentimes, it's God who desires for you, for us to be the ones to step out of the box.
Amen.
Your box, my box, our box, in order for he as our God to perform, to orchestrate, to conduct, to manifest, to bring forth the working of the miracle in our, in your, and even in my life.
Right.
Get out of the box. And yet how many times, it's like I've already said, it is it maybe has been or is you who, when you're walking with God, your desire to want to walk with God, who's been the one to guilty of not being willing to step out of the box for what? For fear of just might be what lies on the other side.
The what ifs.
I'm scared. I feel God moving on me and I want to lift up my hands and yet I'm going to bite my tongue whether it starts to vibrate or I feel like speaking or not. Declaring, what if it doesn't work? What if I end up making a fool of myself? What if it isn't God? Mm-hmm. What if? I mean, what if? And my reply to you, what if God? What if it is God who's the one prompting you, want to be you to be used in that realm of the supernatural, the realm wherein only God is, moves, and operates, and you miss it.
Right, come on.
You miss it. Today you could have the Holy Ghost.
Right.
Today you could walk out of here healed. Your destiny could be redirected. And what do you? You miss it. Over the years in ministry, what I've noticed is after the new wears off of a child of God, after it is or has been them, or even you who's been around for a while, and you begin in your life to know the ropes, shall I say? Too often in each of these circumstances of life, it is the new child of God and it's the older saints of God who, for whatever reason, are they who begin to become skeptical to that of the extra moving and manifesting of the Spirit of God in their lives.
Mm-hmm.
How do they do that? I'll tell you why. By being willing to let somebody else do it. Let the younger guys do it. You know, let somebody else be the one instead of them to respond to the prompting of the Lord. You know, you understand what I'm saying, church, come on.
Mm-hmm.
Understanding the fact that it is the seasoned saints of God who should have learned by now about the unctioning and moving of the God and the Spirit of God in the church.
Right.
And that in a person's life. And often it is the seasoned saints who can talk about how and what God had done, but are rarely the ones seen actually doing it, being the ones that God is actively working through. Why? Because more often than not, it's the past honeymoon saints and it's the seasoned saints we find sitting back on the sideline, watching. They're spectators now, because I've been around a long time. Okay, I don't need to do any of this. And so you get all these prime pump new people, and they're willing to step out of the box. They're willing to, you know, some of us willing to Jericho, whether I do it by myself, and you might think I'm stupid, and everybody's watching me, you know, like a bunch of ducks in rows. You go round and round and round. I don't care what you think. I'm doing this for God. I'm not doing it for you.
Amen.
Right. Come on.
And I believe that it is often whether or not it's God who at such a time and such a service is trying to move in and through, is seeking and wanting to use them, they, for whatever reason, are not willing to be used. You can call it doubt, you can call it fear, you can say it's a lack of faith or, you know, lack of a confidence in the moving of the Spirit of God. You call it what you want. All I call it is the lack of there, maybe even your being willing to be the one to step out of your box. In order for you to be the one to allow God to use you. That's what it is, really. I'm not doing that. Over the past 39 years, I've seen it happen many times when it's something new that's being offered to someone who's never experienced it, being offered to them being the ones to, again, as I've already told you, I did it myself, put the brakes on. But they're closing their mouth instead of opening their mouth in an earnest prayer for God to do whatever it is that God wants to do for them, through them, with them. You know, fill them with the Holy Ghost, forgive them. Even that kind of a fear maybe comes of the baptismal tank. Why? In their minds, it's, if I get into that tank and get baptized, well, my sins are going to be all washed away. Oh my, is it really true or is it just water?
Come on.
I'm not going to do that right now. I've joked a few times over the years that we've had somebody else that could have been baptized, and I said, come on, water's in there. That's a box. It's out of my box. I'm not going to do that. In my early walk with God, when it is God who's the one talking to you, you feel it, and you might even be the one to hear the voice of God speak to you. What do I do now? Answer. Step out of your box. Respond to the voice of God, to the moving of God. Respond to the unctioning of God. And I want you to hear this now, church. I'm the one standing up here today to tell you that when you do what God's prompting you to do, I promise you that God will deliver. God will come through. And it's not the devil who's going to see your life change. It's not the devil who's going to fill you with the Holy Ghost. It's not the devil who's going to transform and change your life.
That's it.
Okay, fine. Quit meddling. Go back to the scriptural text, Luke chapter 5, 1 through 7. It's here we find Peter and his men after a long, hard day of fishing, moving about, cleaning their nets, and no doubt being frustrated that they had caught no fish. And along comes Jesus, who beckons Peter to thrust out a little from the land. And after Jesus finishes speaking, he turns to Peter and says, launch onto the deep, let down your nets for the draught, for the haul, or for the catch. In this case, it was fish. Launch out. And in verse 5, we find where Peter says, Jesus, Master, we toiled all the night and caught nothing. Let's stop here for just a minute. Pastor, I have been prayed for. You need to listen to me. Do you think I've not tried and sought God enough for what it is I need? Come on. In the world, I made a fool of myself. And I mean, I tried things. I did attempt, as you say, to step out of the box. And what happened? I fell flat in my face, okay? Pastor, you know I'm shy. And I'm afraid of falling or failing. What if God doesn't heal me? What if he doesn't answer my prayer? What if he doesn't meet my need, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera? And I say, well, what if God does?
Amen. Right.
What if he does? What if you step out by faith and you're the one who steps out of that box? It's just what Jesus desires before. It is he who meets you on the other side. And in that realm of his miraculous, he answers your prayer. Let's go back to the scripture. Could it have been Peter, or maybe some of the men that were there thinking, Jesus, are you kidding? You know, we're not novices, you know. It's not like it's our first time out going fishing. Maybe you should stick to preaching and doing what you do before the people and leave the professionals alone. And yes, here it is. Peter could have stopped right there and refused to heed the words of Jesus, like us. But according to the Bible, Peter did not.
Right.
In the second portion of verse 5, it's Peter who replies, nevertheless,
right,
at thy word, I will let down the net. Okay, Lord, listen. I'll step out of the box. I'll do it no matter if it works or it doesn't. Are you listening to me today? I'll put my trust and faith in the fact that if you've asked me to do it, so be it, I will.
Amen.
In Luke chapter 5 and 6, the Bible bears witness to just what happened as a result of Peter being willing to step out of the box and to obey the words of Jesus. Luke 5 and 6, and when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, and they should come and help them. And they came and filled both of the ships, so that they began to sink.
Amen.
Right.
Okay. Now let me bring this message thought all the way home. Mm-hmm. You ready? Simply stated, stepping out of the box means you're willing, or you will be willing, to do, to act in a way that's new or different to you. Thereby, in some cases, making yourself vulnerable to whatever consequences your actions have causes as a result to happen. See, stepping out of the box is or are those times when it's you who's willing to put yourself at risk. And you just go for it. Who well you execute your act or your action is you who believes that in and by doing so, in concerns to the working of the church and through the moving of the Spirit of God, that he, God, will be the one to meet you on the other side.
Amen.
I'm just going to do this.
Yep.
It's crazy. Mm-hmm. I've done a lot of crazy things in my living for God. Just things that you would say, yeah, they were out of the box. You know what? Some of them didn't work. It didn't stop me. And so what it is that I believe that we as a people, as a church, we can seek to learn from the illustration of the account of what happened in Peter's circumstance is how that more often than we would care to admit, it is we or you who, when you're walking with God in those times, and the Spirit of God, when it is moving among us or upon you and seeking to move through you, it's you the one who misses out on your experiencing nothing short of a miraculous working of the hand of God as a result.
Amen.
Results in none other than our hesitation.
Right.
Our delay. It's the power of doubt and fear that carries the power to quash any and all of the moving of faith that you as a child of God believe that you have and haven't possessed. Doubt and fear, ladies and gentlemen. Huh. Lift up your hands. Just start speaking in tongues. And the Holy Ghost. Step out. Do it. Come to me. Cry out. In the next couple of minutes, as I open up this altar and I invite you to come, my desire is that you, all of you, starting today, will dare to be the ones to step out of your box. All of you.
Amen.
Step out of your comfort zone in order for you, even this very day, to experience the miracle hand of God in your life. I told somebody a couple times now, hey, this Sunday is Holy Ghost Sunday. And they laugh. What if today, your heart's tender and soft, your mind today has been like a sponge and you've listened? What if today, this time you open your mouth and you speak out loud, God takes your tongue? What if it is today that you've come and you're not feeling well, your chest is kind of congested, or maybe you're just not feeling well, and you lift up your hands and begin to thank God for your healing? What if? See, those of you who need the Holy Ghost, you need to step out of your box. That is what you're used to, and you need to come and get it. Those who need to be healing in your body, obey the beckoning of the voice of God as God calls out for you to just get prayed for. Wherein the Bible says, the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise them up. Thus stand. Today, whoever you are, wherever it is, your need is, your desire in God might be it the saving of a backslidden child, a spouse, maybe it's a desire in your heart to be used of God, the need in your heart that you desire, that you want to step out of the box, out of your comfort zone in order for you to be able to come and get it. I really want to do this. I want to step out and claim it. I want to pray for that healing in my child. I want to pray for the sickness in my life. And so, church and friends today, I invite you to come and get it. Be the one who's willing to step out of the box. The one who steps back and says, look what the Lord has done. So come. This altar is open. Come while the Spirit of God beckons you. step out and just wait and see what it is that Jesus Christ and his power and his desire to meet you in your miracle. So come. Would you step out of the box? Would you come to the front? Would you move from the place that you are? Go out into the aisle. Just get out of that little comfort zone, my safety space.